IVM. You're listening to season 4 of the Rediscovery podcast. This season, we get a glimpse into the travel lifestyle of our hosts, Ambika and Hoshna, as they talk about quitting their jobs to travel, their most rewarding travel experiences, their favorite homestays, traveling around Bombay, and also traveling to unconventional places like Bihar. This is the Rediscovery Podcast, Season 4.
Hi, I'm Ambika.
And I'm Hoshna.
And this is the Rediscovery Podcast. So this is our last episode of Season 4.
Season finale.
I know. And we have a very exciting episode. It's very special because we've got some guests on this episode. And I mean, they're guests, but they're friends of ours. So it's just going to be like conversation,
a lot of yapping,
and it's on our favorite topic or second favorite topic or somewhat favorite topic, I think, which
Khana
is
khajana.
All about food. Yes. I mean, every episode we have, I think there is food involved somehow. Even if there is no food, where we've gone somewhere, we've managed to talk about
some
food.
Your mother said this once, said your podcast is only about food. That's
yes,
all y'all are talking about. I don't agree, but anyway.
I think it is. I mean, food for us is a big part of our travel. And I mean, we're traveling around in India. So how can you not talk about food, right?
Correct, yeah.
Where we've gone to Nagaland and eaten like smoked beef in somebody's house. Mm-hmm. And then we had this epic like Kumaoni thali in Binsar.
After which
we just had to sleep for like, at least I slept
that was
for
actually
like
the
days.
Biggest thali I have ever seen.
Possibly. It felt very large. Then there was also those massive big thalis in Orissa, which I love
very
the food.
Different.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's, I mean, the biryani.
There was a Lucknow, yeah.
Yes.
What was that? Idris.
Idris.
Idris
it was the
place.
Tiniest place possible. And the dirtiest place possible,
yeah,
but the best biryani.
Yeah, because I think your aunt told us about it, your grand-aunt
yes,
told us about
yes.
it. And then we went there and we couldn't
like,
find it. We're like, where is this place? Is there Google Maps?
And we're like, there's no way Indo auntie is eating over here.
Yeah,
and then later she's like,
asked the guy and he said, yeah, this dirty, disgusting
this
place, go there and
with
eat.
The bones on the floor.
And then when we ate there, it was awesome. And then auntie told us, but nobody, you don't eat there. You take pack karke ghar leke aao. You know,
yeah, she's all very, you know, like Lucknow high society. So yeah, to talk more about food and travel and Bombay, all things that we love, we have our guests, Pankal and Sumit of the Woodside fame. And if you don't know Woodside in Bombay, then I really don't know like where you've been living.
Yeah, two-thirds of the Woodside.
Two-thirds
boys.
Of the Woodside two-thirds, fame, right. And the Pantry fame, and the Bombay Vintage fame, and now the Misty fame.
Yeah, yes. We ate at Misty that day, and it was really nice. We met you with Sumit there.
Okay. Well, hi guys, welcome.
Hi,
otherwise, it's just going to be us talking.
Yeah.
Yes, so welcome. So Pankal and Sumit, now we're going to ask you some questions, but feel free to just like, you know, jump in wherever you want to.
When Ambika gives you the chance to talk.
Yes, this is true. So now we're just going to go with this assumption that you guys are natural foodies because you're in the restaurant business.
My belly gives it away.
Yeah, well, I think Hoshna and you have some competition over there.
And we have Sumit who's so fit.
We're going to come to how Sumit is so skinny.
Yeah, that's one of the things we have listed.
Magic.
Yes, yes. What is this magic now? We need to figure out. But being surrounded by food all the time, what does that feel like? And then, I mean, do you get tired of it sometimes?
I mean, are you always eating at the restaurant or do you prefer to go home and eat? How does it work?
I mean, I eat at the restaurants a lot. I eat at home a lot as well. And I eat outside. So I think
50%. You basically eat a lot.
I eat a lot. You know, that's basically what I'm trying to say. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing to be surrounded by food. It's amazing to be in a space that allows you to get creative with food, and it's amazing to feed people, see them smile, watch their reactions, and you know, make them happy. So it's definitely fun.
What about you, Sumit?
So yeah, my family's been in the food business
since
around 35 years, and you know, I've always known I was going to get into the food business. It was, you know, not only is the business bit important, I am quite a foodie as well, you know, given a
How are you so skinny, Sumit? Please tell me you exercise every day.
I was massive in school. I was more than 100 kgs at one point. But yeah, I mean, you know, you get into college and eventually start, you know, you really start, you know, giving a little more thought to The fitness.
You are going the other way. Most people, they'll be thin in school. Like, I was a stick in
school.
Same.
I was very skinny.
It was the other way around. I mean, one of the amazing parts of this business is that you're around food a lot. And there are times when, you know, I'm actually eating out close to around... There have been times where we've had 14 meals a week, you know, outside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It has happened.
That's every day. Do the math quickly.
Twice every day. And there are times when, you know, not adding to the 14 number, but I genuinely do enjoy.
Does it get old?
Out.
I mean...
Oh, well, clearly, I mean, not.
No, does it get old, like eating out all the time? Or, I mean,
you have your favorites, right? You know, so even when you're eating out, there are people who like to eat a different dish at every meal. Yeah. I'm one of those guys who can actually have the same dish 7 days in a row as well. I can, but having said that... Which would probably... there were times when, you know, at our office, I used to get a salad for lunch every day. And these guys used to be like... What's with you? What is with your salad every day?
The same salad?
It was, at one point, I was on this paleo diet. No, actually, it was just, you know, lettuce thrown around with some chicken dish that was made at home. And then I used to make like a salad out of it. This was one phase where I was working out a lot as well as eating a lot of salad.
That explains the skininess.
I do.
So
I do
work
try
at
my
it.
Best.
It's not
no,
like
I, do, I absolutely.
You better
try
say you
my
work
best.
At it.
Yeah. I do. I mean,
while he was going through this phase, I was having thalis every day for lunch.
I'm going to come to the same phase. Kola puri from Welcome with Anand.
Exactly.
We love kola puri food. We plan a lot of our travel around food. And we did this amazing driving trip down the coast of Maharashtra, where I think every point was plotted because of a restaurant we had heard about or something we wanted to eat.
We planned the whole trip around that. Yeah. We'll stop in this town because there is this one nice dhaba there. Then we will drive for 2 hours and then we'll eat there again.
All my trips are planned like that.
That's exactly how
that's
you should
exactly
travel.
How
you were actually
going
to ask that. Do you plan your trips around food?
I do. So I research a lot before I go anywhere, and food is the reason I travel.
You're vegetarian or are you?
I was vegetarian for the first 18 years of my life.
Oh, really?
And then what happened?
How did that change happen?
So I went to university in the US, and that's where I realized that there's nothing to eat. And I never missed being missed non-veg in Bombay because you, as a vegetarian,
there's
India is probably
of options,
one of the better countries to travel in. But when I went to the US, there was nothing. I mean, and I hate salads. I hate leaves. So I mean,
I don't understand these vegetarians who don't like
what are you going to eat? Like dal?
No,
you can eat bhindi.
There are vegetarian items, but it's not as vast as
not in the US for sure.
You know, and they don't do vegetarian food at that point. I'm talking like 20 years or 18 years ago. It was very different.
So now we are non-vegetarian.
Now I eat everything.
And you plan your travel around food.
Completely planned around food. I book restaurants. I look up bars, restaurants where I want to go to. I get lists from people who I trust, who have been there before and have, you know, whose judgment I would trust. So I do that, do my research before.
So
I
is that in India or abroad?
Everywhere.
First thing I look for is restaurant recommendations.
And you're a big beer guy.
Huge.
I mean, like Punkil and beer.
I'm a big guy who loves beer. Yes.
You're not that big. It's fine. But like for, I think in my head, Punkil and beer to go together, right?
Punkil and beer go really well together.
Sumit and what goes together?
I mean, I enjoy beer as well, but I...
But the what's the one thing? Bhindi?
You didn't have to say so boring.
Oh, no, I miss that.
like Punkil said, you know, I'm doing a lot of planning around food as well. Annoying people, you know, because every meal is planned in advance. And there's this one trip I took to Portugal where I was traveling with Aloka, my wife, and her brother. And every town I wanted to eat at these specific spaces. And they were very annoyed with me. But until we got to the restaurants and we saw there were these hidden gems in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, dude.
And then they realized that, wow, this is worth it. And then they understood. Yeah. And then they started encouraging me at some point, you know, at the end of the trip.
So I love planning also. I mean, I love cooking. So, I mean, at home, I cook. And I suspect a lot of my friends are only my friends because I feed them. the day I stop cooking, I think I will have very few friends left in this world. But I love feeding people. And I think that's the very essence of it. But when we go to places, a lot of times, and when we travel in India, we don't always plan so much. There is room for serendipity. And I think we've had some
fantastic...
Yeah, because
some of the best places in India specifically, you won't find on the internet.
Yeah,
you'll probably find it when you go there and talk to someone.
Discover it, It has to come through word of mouth in these little places. And that's, I think, across the world, maybe not in India as well. A small town somewhere in Europe, it might be this mom-and-pop establishment that's not listed, doesn't care to be listed anywhere. And, you know, it's been running like that for 50 years, 80 years, and that's it. That's the way they want to live their life. You know, it becomes a part of their life.
So coming back to India, because our travels are all around India, and that's what our podcast is about. What is one place that you have gone to in India that, like, that you've had this amazing meal or something like really like you want everyone to know about, or you don't want anyone to know about? Then don't let's not tell anyone that. But like the one meal. I mean, I don't think Hosha and I can pick one meal. But like I said in the beginning, Orissa, the food was amazing. And I expected like similar food to like Bengal or Assam. But it's very different. And I think that's a very underrated cuisine. I would tell people like travel there just to eat. Those Odia thalis are fabulous. If you want to bring some of that into
also.
Bombay vintage.
Why not?
But yeah, so like what's the your epic food memories in India?
So for me, so my family comes from Bangalore, and I, you know, we, you know, there is a hotel that I know I'm a part of that, you know, I help run as well. So that's always an opportunity as well, because Mangalorean food is, you know, it's very diverse. You know, you get a lot of vegetarian options that are more the Konkani sort of influence, while you also have a lot of the meat eating part, which is, you know, the buns, this, you know, the fishermen, the Muslims, the Christians there as well. So there's this one restaurant called Narayani, which is near the docks.
I'm writing this down.
Which is near the docks in in Bangalore. It's the old part of the city. And if you go there and you have this crumb fried, fish, it's not rawas. I was about to say rawas. It's not the rawas. There are these multiple options that you have. There are these massive, massive servings that you have. That you have a thali, you have rice, and you have fish curry. But after a while, you realize that you don't know why you're eating the rice, because the fish is the real sort of story.
The king of the dish.
And I've taken friends there. I've taken a lot of people. I've recommended it to restaurateurs who land up there, and, you know, chefs who land up there. And they're blown away by the place, to the point where, you know, when we got married, and, you know, there was this trip that I had to take to Mangalore. We skipped breakfast, straight went to lunch, because it's actually a working person's lunch, and it starts getting busy around 12:30 till 2:30, and then you don't have space. And the next thing you know, you're sitting there and you have someone standing right next to you to take your seat as soon as you're done. And
yeah,
these are the best.
Been to a few of those.
So I knew the story. So I got there at, you know, I skipped breakfast with Aloka, got there at 11:30, had, you know, 11:45 when, you know, we were the first people to get there. Had these massive, massive fish pieces, two each. And next time we went back with the kids, and we had an even more amazing experience there.
How old are your kids now?
So my oldest son is 6, the younger guy is 3.
So you have to take
them
again when they are old enough to appreciate.
We will. We'll be doing these trips.
Or you could just
more.
Bring the Narayani guy here.
Believe me, we've tried to replicate it. It's there's a reason why he's that good, because the guy who's pan frying the fish, that's all he does, and that's all he does 6 days a week. And so
there's
real specialization. So then, that's the reason he's perfect at what he does.
It's all in the hands, no? Yeah.
So you all run what?
Wait, Pankaj has to tell us. What is his...
My food memories.
Or
food.
One epic thing you've eaten in India.
It's impossible.
It's
impossible for me. It's, growing up, I have very visual memories of food in and in certain places, in certain towns with certain people. So it's, you know, it could be a Sabudana Vadad from...
some roadside dhaba. Yeah. We had an epic Sabudana Khichdi once, remember? When you're driving back from Maharashtra only.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I mean, it's you know, like that kind of stuff is more important in terms of what I remember as a child growing up and eating out.
So you said you plan your travel around foods and you all run, what, 4 or 5 restaurants now? In
Four,
yes. Yeah. We have four restaurants right now.
So are any of your dishes inspired by your travels or inspired by food you've eaten?
Sorry, we have 5 restaurants right now. Sorry. No.
I am hoping Dolphy is not listening to this. And
I didn't
you
think
just,
of
Or
misty.
Did you just combine Woodside in like, the two of them?
Now there's so many. Yeah, it's like when you get beyond 3 kids, like 4th and 5th are like...
Don't say that. It's not the case at all.
I who doesn't have any kids. Yeah. Okay.
No, but it is like having kids. You know,
it's just sure,
they come out kicking and screaming. You need to nurture them, nourish them, take care of them, and eat.
Eat with them.
So, are any of your dishes inspired by your travels? Inspired by food you eat on your travels?
Yeah. Absolutely. At least, I mean. I think a lot of our dishes are inspired by our travels, by our team, in every restaurant. I mean, to me at Woodside Inn, the pizzas, for example, are pizzas for the 4 cheese pizza, the Goan chorizo pizza are all inspired.
Oh, that is my favorite. Yeah, I mean, there's Goan chorizo and there's pepperoni and I can't decide which one I like more. But when I come to Woodside, it's the
Goan
chorizo.
Get the
half half, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that also.
And Bombay Vintage, you know, there's a lot of dishes inspired by all our travels, all stuff that we've grown eating up. There is a Sabudana Vada on the menu. There is chicken ghee roast Sumit was talking about.
Mushroom wala dhansak.
It's really good.
Actually, Ambika was trying
to have eaten the mushroom dhansak and I live in a Parsi household. And even though my mother-in-law looked at me like I had
crazy.
Gone mad, I was like, that
She's
mushroom.
Like, what does it mean?
I said, that dhansak was really good. Like, you wouldn't know that there was no meat in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the mushroom added. I mean, I love mushrooms.
The thing is, with the dhansak, you obviously, you know, when being in South Bombay and having Parsis all over the place, we had to get it as close to what we felt was, you know, what, you know, a Parsi auntie would come in and not, you know, hit us on our head for.
Or the chicken farcha
for that matter.
Oh, I haven't eaten that yet.
It's very good. It's
I like chicken
very,
farcha.
Very good.
So you know, we managed to sort of get the masala from, you know, this specific person, you know, who was supplying to a lot of Parsi homes.
Okay.
And eventually then got someone who was working with a Parsi house to come, you know, teach the team, you know, and that's the reason, you know, we're feeling a little more confident about what we try to do.
Well, it's, I mean, as a non-Parsi,
congratulations,
Parsi
if you
food.
Get a Parsi to eat a mushroom dhansak, whether
you're
they like it or
eat.
Don't
but
like it.
That's the point. It's
thing.
Not. It's not about the Parsi.
It's
Parsi
not
about obviously sure. have a mutton dhansak.
It's not about the mushroom. Okay, you just
it's
come
just
and eat that
It's opening up to
dhansak.
A slightly different sort of audience who try something new.
It's yummy. Yeah.
But the Parsis won't even eat chicken dhansak. Like, forget mushroom.
It has to be mutton.
Yeah.
Well, other vegetarians need to eat dhansak, okay?
Who cares?
Okay, bas, there's hoshno. Who cares? So on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rediscovery Podcast. So let's talk about Bombay Vintage a little bit. I mean, like you said, it's a mix of local Bombay cuisine, right? And this is how, by the way, I market your restaurant, is that all these boys got together, they listed out all their favorite things to eat, and they made a menu. So when you go and eat, you feel like you're eating all the things you want to eat. I mean, even I love the fact that you have this one bhindi dish. And yes, I
the
love bhindi, okay?
Kulkare.
Yes,
bhindi
it's
kulkare.
So yummy. And a friend of mine ate the bhindi dish and she said it was delicious.
Add it on top of the chicken ghee roast.
Oh,
and
dude.
And have it together. It's
mad.
It's,
I'm going like tomorrow now to eat this. But see, that's the thing, right? That menu felt very familiar. And this is how I tell people to go, because that menu feels familiar. It feels like you're eating a little bit like at home also, but a little bit more than you're eating at home. And I like that. I mean, for me, that was really important. So Bombay cuisine is very varied. I mean, there's so many things to eat. And I was telling Hosha this random memory earlier that one of the first things I ate when I moved to Bombay 10 years ago was after partying of some of my friends took us to Amar Juice Center to have the pav bhaji. Mm. Like midnight pav bhaji for me is a very important Bombay thing to eat, right? Like you must eat midnight pav bhaji. So what for you guys, what is like that one thing that somebody should eat when they come to Bombay? Like,
So I think this
the quintessential
Bombay street food there is insanely vast. I mean, pani puri is, you know, defining to growing up,
Ambika
especially.
I don't like the bombay.
There you go. So B Road pani puri. There was this be this
what
legend.
What is B Road?
B Road, Marine Drive people. So, oh, won't understand this thing.
So on Marine Drive on B Road, there is this used to be this legend of a pani puri wala, and you know. I remember, like, I with someone.
I think he's back.
We used to go to a friend's house, and he lived there, and we used to go hang out and then go and eat pani puri.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there any quintessential Bombay cuisine? I mean, because okay, it's so no, varied,
but,
right?
But, like, if you had to tell somebody, like, I would tell people who came, like, or if I had a guest or a friend or a visitor who came, I'd be like, pav bhaji is something I feel like you need to eat in this city, right?
No, but so there are great dosas, there are great
pav bhaji. Okay, so I'm from Tamil Nadu, so I...
I agree with you, Vankil, but still there is...
The thing is, it's not about authenticity,
Bombay-ish.
I think Bombay has taken, and that's what with Bombay Vintage I feel we are trying to do, is to showcase that there is no... just one thing that can define a city.
It can't, no.
Like Bombay.
Yeah.
Where,
like
which
Bombay,
was,
correct.
Which was
correct.
Built with, you know, the communities that built Bombay, the Boris, the Gujaratis, the the Anglo-Indians, the Goans. So there's a huge spectrum of flavors. I mean, yeah. To some, a pork sorpatel will be quintessentially Bandrock, quintessentially Bombay, or
using
bottle masala prawn pulao could be something that has existed in the Vasai village for God alone knows how many centuries, you know. So it's very difficult to
pick the one thing. Soumen, do you have a thing?
So you went all the way to Juhu and you had...
I was living in Andheri
okay,
at the time.
No. It's okay. My entire family has, all, you know, has been from around that Santa Cruz, Juhu area forever. So you've checked out the pav bhaji there. What you missed was the Cooper Bhurji.
I've had that.
So
they talk about the hospital candy.
Outside, every night.
You have pav bhaji and the bhurji.
So when I did my MBA, we used to go to the hospital canteen and eat butter chicken because it has some really at Cooper Hospital.
Okay. Okay. That's weird.
It's open 24 hours a day.
It's open 24 hours a day. It's cheap. It's hospital. It's also cheap.
That's just weird. Okay.
Is it any good?
I don't know this guy.
It was good. At least I thought it was good. You know.
At that point
15
in time,
years ago.
Then they were drunk and drunk.
So lunch and all. Lunch.
No, I think the Cooper Bhurji, it's there's a reason why people like it. And obviously,
I agree.
At that point in the night, there aren't too many options.
No,
so you sort
no.
of live with what you have.
I think they were great options
in the
middle
options.
Of the night.
I will agree on that.
So Cooper Bhurji and Pav Bhaji, Pankil is saying everything.
Yeah.
Hoshno?
I don't know. I think Bombay's like a huge mix up of different foods, but what I like, which I don't think is quintessentially Bombay, but I've only eaten in Bombay, is the barahandi you get in one of those lanes of Mohammadali Road.
Opposite Crawford
Market.
Where else do you get it?
But the cuisine per se is not Bombay. I think it's you'd associate more with the north.
Not really. I think
no,
it is.
No, I think
it
it's very Bombay.
Bombay.
That's something that barahandi I've not seen anywhere else.
No, so. The thing is, I don't think, nor have I. I've gotten into markets, you know, in other cities as well. I've never seen anything like that. I think it's probably come about, you know, based on convenience, you know, and based on the requirement for that sort of, you know, the 12 sort of handis to be put together.
We always take people to eat at Barahandi.
I agree. I haven't had that sort of stuff anywhere else.
What was cool, though, was recently when we went to MP... which I have to say, Pankaj said, why would you go to MBA? But Pankaj...
We made that the theme of episode. One statement.
Pankaj, epic food. When you do decide to go, we will tell you where all to eat.
I've been to Bhopal.
Bhopal has great food.
I went for a Nawabi wedding, and it was a whole roasted goat.
I thought you were going to say horse for a second. I don't know why.
How wide he had his arms, it was so good. Yeah, so MP has some great food, and I think our last stop on that trip was in Burhanpur.
Okay,
where Hoshna, I think, smelled before he saw or sensed these jalebis, these mawa jalebis.
Have you seen these mawa jalebis?
They were fried, like dark fried.
They were really khoya, which is fried.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for Hoshna, that's like heaven,
it already,
right?
It's like I can feel the kgs piling on.
And that guy, so these Burhanpuri jalebis, which are very famous, he has a relative who has a shop in Bombay and one other relative who has a shop in Delhi. So Burhanpuri jalebis are in
Jama
Delhi,
Masjid area, Muhammad Ali and Burhanpur.
And Burhanpur, yeah. So this is something,
you should check it out.
We've been telling people. So that was kind of cool,
right? It's like a gulab jamun which is
deep fried. Sugar with flour.
It's like a gulab jamun which is deep fried. It's the closest way I can probably explain it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean,
that sounds amazing.
It's epic.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff that comes into the city also. I think that sort of makes it the yummy food space that it is. So speaking of this Burhanpur, then you guys now travel to source food for your restaurant, or how does that work? I mean, I was just curious because I eat at the Pantry a lot, and you have this Pondicherry, I had to write it down, Lofabu.
Lofabu.
Oh, well, see, I've written it wrong also now, the Lofabu, which is yummy.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, I mean, how did you go to figure that you wanted that out, or how does that work?
How do you discover these ingredients?
So the Pantry has always, we've always wanted to create, you know, more channels for people to showcase their products, and people are, our meats come from somebody who's passionate about making processed meat or mixed meats. Our cheese comes from a small cheese supplier. You know, we work with small communities of farmers at the Pantry to get vegetables, to get spices, to get teas, to get coffee. Even our coffee beans are sourced, you know, from a small
farm. Does all this tasting and all that?
Sumit is involved to a large extent at the Pantry tastings. And yes, of course, we all eat at all our restaurants all the time. And if we find an interesting idea when we're traveling, we're always, you know, constantly communicating with each other about, hey, maybe we should get this, and hey, I'll really love this, we should get this. And so there's always that kind of brainstorming and creative thought process sharing going on with us. And we've had the privilege of meeting some amazing people through this journey, you know.
So if I said go to Orissa and eat the thali, then maybe you'll bring some of that food, a Bombay Vintage. Because I'd be so excited. That food is yummy. I know I've said this like 14 times already.
No, I mean, Andhra food is there. It's underrepresented. Bengali food is underrepresented.
Very much so.
So there's still potential for millions of more people to access these cuisines in a city like Bombay, where, you know, your butter chicken is so... Everybody loves butter chicken, right? You go to any restaurant, Indian restaurant, and they'll have it, their version of it, their take on it, their specialized version of it. But it's these other dishes that are as nice, as fun, as interesting as butter chicken was maybe 20 years ago. You know?
Yeah, I think we have our version of it. I think it's the ghee roast at Bombay.
It is amazing. So it's the best ghee roast in the world.
We have to compete that claim. We'll test it out for you. Don't worry.
Maybe you guys should just come by and just test it out.
You know, I feel like, I know Bombay has got a lot of different food to eat, but there's still so much that you don't get in the city. And I don't know if it's like geography or proximity. Like, you'll get a lot of like interesting foods in Delhi, for example, cuisines like from UP, from Bengal, from the northern parts of the country that you don't find in Bombay, not as much, and I think it's on the rise a little bit. So, Do you think, I mean, people are interested in creating Indian restaurants that are varied? Because Indian food, I think, still has a very narrow
connotation,
idea about it, right? If you think, ask most people for Indian food, they'll tell you the usual stuff. But we're like, no, Indian food is also Naga food. It's also Odia food. It's also like the little food from Mangalore.
And the Northeast is also terribly underrepresented.
Complete, yeah. I mean, Northeast, yes, in general. But think of the number of cuisines that... See, you take Punjabi food and count the number of restaurants, and then you take something like Bengali food and count the number of restaurants.
Absolutely,
It's minuscule, the comparison, you know. You're not going to find a machher jhol on every menu, but you will find a butter chicken. And, you know, just you were talking about Ambika, the idea of regional food and cuisines, I think, yes, for sure. I think people are opening their minds up, their palates up. People are traveling a lot more.
Mm.
You know, you guys are spreading the gospel of... you must go to Madhya Pradesh and try X, Y, Z. And this, from your travels, people are listening. People are loving it. So I think there is definitely potential.
The food scene is like...
It's growing.
Yeah,
and we
very
are so
much.
Happy it's growing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's it goes hand in hand with the travel, right? People are opening up to more places to go to, different places to go to, different experiences, and food sort of plays into that very well, right?
I think because of the way Delhi is located, I think it's got a lot more proximity, like you said, to the Northeast, to parts where, you know, people from other parts of, you know, the northern parts of India have come, and, you know, Delhi seems to be a little more open to these ideas. Bombay also, especially because, you know, there's a huge vegetarian population here. I think so, you know, we've had, you know, like the South Indian food coming in from, say, Karnataka, while there's Gujarati food coming from, you know, from Gujarat. That has been, you know, has been the only different food other than, you know, the other cuisine other than the Punjabi food that people have given a chance to. But of late, you know, there's definitely been a little more openness towards... you know, and this also obviously has to come through because of people experimenting, or restaurateurs, entrepreneurs, or pop-ups happening. You know, the smaller pop-ups are the best way to sort of test the market out. For example, Bori Cuisine, or for that matter, you know, a progressive sort of you know, part of a progressive Maharashtrian sort of cuisine that comes through as well, has now been a little more accepted as compared to, say, you know, say 5 to 10 years back, people were only eating a kadhai or a kolhapuri. So it can get...
And the kolhapuri you get in Bombay is nothing like the kolhapuri you get in Kolhapur.
It's definitely a Punjabi version of kolhapuri.
Yeah. Dhamra rasa and what is the other one we had?
Panda.
Lonche and all that stuff in Bombay. Yeah. I would eat there every second day.
No. And I'm sure there are places as well. I think there's, you know, there's places in
small
I've heard
places,
of.
Yeah.
There are tons
small
of small
restaurants
places.
Specific places.
But you won't find.
You won't know of them.
Won't know of them.
So I think so. That's, I mean, definitely like 14 restaurant ideas already for you guys to add to the kitty.
Then Pankaj will be like, yeah, we have 10.
So are you thinking of the next one now, or you're still like getting over the misty hangover? Abhi to now they move fast.
No, I think we're looking at opening more. I don't think we're going to stop. I think we are enjoying what we're doing. We love what we're doing. And I think that's going to continue inspire. We're going to get inspired and continually get inspired and do more stuff for sure.
I'm clapping over here, by the way, for all of you guys who can't see me. But we're very excited. I mean, we love all the food that you guys have put together and given us. I think whenever somebody visits, people are like, oh, there's such great food in Bombay. And where shall we go eat? And I'm like, yes. We can go to Woodside, you know, and that's always been my...
Woodside is like just comfort.
It's just like,
you know,
yeah,
you
it's
go
my
there,
go-to place, yeah. But and pantry, especially if I want lunch, I go there because I'm big on like salads and stuff for lunch. So I go there. But now it's like, should I go to Misty or should I go to Woodside? And this is a very upsetting choice to have to make. You do realize.
That's
but...
okay. You take your pick. One night pantry, one night Woodside.
One night, I'll just be broke
night,
now constantly.
Yeah.
So anything that you want to tell people about, like one last food thingy, like eat this or go here or whatever. I don't know.
I think just be open.
Yeah.
I think people just need to challenge themselves when it comes to food. go yeah. beyond the I think, and that's a conscious thing I think people need to do.
Agreed. I also need to do.
You, Oshna, in the beginning when I first made him pesto pasta, he was like, what is this green stuff? I don't want green stuff on my pasta.
That was 10 years ago.
I will tell that story 20 years later also. And now he's like, Vivi, can we have pesto pasta at home? And I'm like, look at this guy, you know? Yeah. So, Sumit, wise words of wisdom.
I agree with Pankaj. I think people definitely, I mean, I'm not going to blame anyone for it. It's just that I think that that's the way Bombay has been. There's been, we haven't had too many ideas that people have been able to sort of open up to. With Misty, you know, we've primarily focused on Burmese and Vietnamese food. And the food's a little, it's a lot more subtle, you know, the food. It's a different cuisine altogether. And we've had people coming in and said that this is very different from Thai Pavilion, for example. So it has to be different because it's a different part of the world which has a different cuisine. And, you know, you travel 100 kilometers and, you know, the food changes.
Any of those dishes that you all find on your travels and
well,
then came
we
in?
Actually did, you know. So, you know, for us, you know, the entire team actually, so our chefs went and worked with Chef Duke in Hoi An. And, you know, so for 3 weeks, you know, they're with him. A lot of these ideas have actually come back. Mm. And Chef Duke actually has his own style of cooking, which is a different, it's a variation on Vietnamese food. A part of the menu is, you know, Vietnamese, a part of the menu is Burmese, you know, and that Burmese part is coming from Chef Bomra, who's, you know, who's a great
that
chef.
Crab vermicelli thing was... Oh,
it was
think
delicious,
of it every second
no?
day.
I mean, I'm sure every part of, you know, the Southeast Asia has its own version of, you know, that sort of comfort food. So it's just that, you know, you have to sort of be open to trying new things without comparing it to the closest option that you can think of. And that's what it comes down to. Are we trying to educate people? Absolutely not. People are smart. They know what they're doing, what they're paying for as well. It's just that, you know, maybe it's the, you know, it's how it's, you know, the entire sort of concept around it has to be clear for people as well. And that's the effort we're trying to make so that people try new food and enjoy it.
Excellent. Well, I want to ask this one last question, which Hoshna was like, this is a very stupid question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When you go home, what is that one home meal that you like?
I mean, roti dal bhat shak. This is RDBS.
RDBS.
Yeah, it's ask any Gujarati, and this is a standard acronym.
Is it really, or not just your acronym?
No, it's a standard.
RDBS.
Yes, yes.
Roti dal bhat
shak.
Shak.
What is shak?
Vegetable.
Okay.
Sabzi.
Huh. So
in Gujarati,
dal sabzi roti, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's
about
that.
Right.
There is, I mean, just home cooked food.
And you?
It's odd, you know, because I...
Silent.
Not really. So the thing is, you know, I think, you know, while growing up itself, it's very odd. But we've been eating soup every day of our lives, you know, and it's
so
probably...
That is the secret of the thin.
No, it's not. I mean, I, like I was telling, I was more than 100 kgs, you know, when I was in the
You're
ninth standard.
Throwing your soup out. I should throw my vegetables out. My mother shouldn't listen to this.
No, so oddly, it's that same soup that has been made, you know, at my house for the last 35 years.
Wow.
That, it's the same style of soups. You know, it's a different soup every day. That to me is comfort.
Right.
Yeah. It's comfort. Yeah. It's odd because no one really associates that with anyone staying in, you know, in.
No,
why? People would be thinking, you're South Indian, so dosa. For example, this is the sort of, you know, stereotype that you have of South Indians that, you know, they eat dosa for every meal of their lives.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Or that they are vegetarian, which is a stereotype Hoshna had.
Yeah, so our first trip was Tamil Nadu. Yeah. And then when, I mean, I was really worried. I'm like, what am I going to eat there? I'll only get vegetables and I'll only get dosa and I'll only get idli. But I think food-wise, it was one of the best trips we did.
In fact, you know, I'm pretty surprised, I have to say that, you know. I recently, Thomas was traveling, you know, Thomas from Bombay Canteen was traveling to Tamil Nadu, and every second picture I saw was food that I didn't associate with Tamil Nadu at all.
Yeah.
It's such a stereotype, you know, that people think it's, Tamil Nadu, idli and dosa, and dosa.
Correct.
So it's, you know, it's people like this who are really sort of making that change to, you know, helping people understand there's so much out there. that you have that we haven't tried in Bombay.
No.
Yeah.
So go travel to strange places and eat strange food. It'll be worth it. I think the message that we're getting here.
Or just come to Bombay Vintage.
Or just come to Bombay Vintage. Yes, which I can definitely vouch for. The food is yummy.
And guys, if you want to know more about how to open a restaurant, the thought that goes behind it, the hard work that goes behind it, check out IVM's podcast, The Colaba Cartel, where we speak about Misty, our newest space in Colaba.
So, thank you guys for being on our podcast
and ending our season
4 with all kinds of discussion about food. I'm fairly certain everyone listening to this is like, damn it, I need to go eat right now.
My stomach's been growling.
So is mine. So you can check out our blog for more food and travel stories. We have a cool list of yummy thalis from around the country that's on our blog. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. Our blog is www.rediscoveryproject.com. So that's it for season 4. Happy New Year, guys. See you in 2019.
Happy travels and happy eating.
Bye-bye.